Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. My dear Nimai Pandit, what you have said is all true. Our scriptures have developed only recently, and they are certainly not logical and philosophical. Purport. The Shastras of the Yavanas or meat-eaters are not eternal scriptures. They have been fashioned recently, and sometimes they contradict one another. The scriptures of the Yavanas are three: the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the Quran. Their compilation has a history. They are not eternal, like the Vedic knowledge. Their compilation has a history. They are not eternal, like Vedic knowledge. Therefore, although they have their arguments and reasonings, they are not very sound and transcendental. As such, modern people advanced in science and philosophy deem these scriptures unacceptable. Sometimes Christian priests come to us inquiring, why are our followers neglecting our scriptures and accepting yours? But when we ask them, your Bible says, do not kill. Why then are you killing so many animals daily? They cannot answer. Some of them imperfectly answer that the animals have no souls. But then we ask them, how do you know that animals have no souls? Animals and children are of the same nature. Does this mean that the children of human society also have no souls? According to the Vedic scriptures, within the body is the owner of the body, the soul. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said, Dehinosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yovanam jara tatha dehantara praptir dhiras tatrana muhyati. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. Bhagavad Gita 2.13. Because the soul is within the body changes through so many forms. There is a soul within the body of every living entity, whether animal, tree, bird, or human being, and the soul is transmigrating from one type of body to another. When the scriptures of the Yavanas, namely the Old Testament, New Testament, and Quran, cannot properly answer inquisitive followers, naturally, those advanced in scientific knowledge and philosophy lose faith in such scriptures. The Qazi admitted this while talking with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Qazi was a very intelligent person. He had full knowledge of his position, as stated in the following verse. Om Adnantim Randasya Nananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshutarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we are continuing the discussion from Adi Leela chapter 17. This is the last chapter of the Adi Leela, and this chapter finishes with the pastimes of Mahaprabhu in his youth. The current chapter discusses the interaction with Chand Qazi. Chand Qazi has also a role in Krishna Leela. Who is Chand Qazi in Krishna Leela? Kamsa. And that is why Mahaprabhu addresses him as Mama, which means maternal uncle. So he is a special personality, and the interaction with Mahaprabhu is also very special. The interaction is on the Quran. And although the verses of Quran have not been quoted in Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are many scholars, Gaudiya Vaishnava scholars, who believe that Mahaprabhu originally quoted the verses from the Quran to Chand Kazi. And there are two points that are mentioned in this verse. As a conclusion of that discussion, Chand Kazi, the Muslim scholar or the Muslim magistrate, he agrees two things. The last line here, Adunika Amar Shastra. Amar Shastra Adunika. Our scriptures are very modern, as in relatively new. Islam being 700 years, or the Bible being 2000 years, is relatively modern. And vichar shahanoi, vichar means logic or thinking, saha means with. It is not sound in logic. These scriptures of ours are not sound in logic. So apparently Srila Prabhupada is giving quite a smashing purport. It could disturb someone if someone is very attached to certain ways of thinking. Because Prabhupada says the scriptures of the Yamanas are three: the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Quran. Their compilation has a history, and they are not eternal like Vedic knowledge. So Vedic knowledge is considered to be eternal. Why is Vedic knowledge eternal? Because it comes directly from the Lord. So, there is a verse in the fourth canto, second chapter, where Bhrigu Muni is cursing the attendants or the followers of Lord Shiva. And in that verse, 4 to 34, I think, in that verse, Prabhupada writes in the purport why Vedas are eternal. It's a beautiful purport. And the verse ends, Yat Pramanam Janardanaha. And Prabhupada explains on that. The Vedas are eternal because they have come directly from Janardana, Bhagavatam says. All the other scriptures have been given. So, Quran, for example, was given to Prophet Muhammad on the mount by the angel Gabriel, or as the Muslims call it, Injil, Gibrail or Jibrail. So he gave the scripture. The scripture was then communicated verbally, and after many years it was actually written down. Almost after 100 years of disappearance of Prophet Muhammad, the scriptures were actually written down. Whereas we see that Bhagavad Gita, and Prabhupada writes in the purport, the Bhagavad Gita is directly the words of the Lord. Bhagavan Swayam is speaking. So the Vedic scriptures are eternal. We see even Srimad Bhagavatam begins with Tene Brahma Ridaya Adi Kavaye Muhyanti Yat Suraya. Tene Brahma Rida. Tene. Tene means the Lord extended. You see, how do you extend something? You should have it first, right? I have the book, I extend it to someone. See, the word is very beautiful. And many acharyas have commented, especially in the Sri Sampradaya and the Madhva Sampradaya, Vijaya Dvaja and others, they have commented that the Vedas are eternal. Tene Brahma Rida. And the Vedas were directly revealed in the heart of Brahma. So Prabhupada says, the compilation of these scriptures have a history, but Vedas are eternal. And then he says, modern people advanced in science and philosophy deem these scriptures unacceptable. We see many, there are many, many, especially in the Christian world, there are many, many people who are either atheist, agnostic, or I was in Rome last year, and you know, it's the seat of, or the heart of Catholicism. But just, you know, just outside of the main arena, there are shops, and I was talking to a shopkeeper, and he said, "Oh, I'm an atheist." I said, "You're right at the doorstep." He said, yeah, my father was a priest, I'm an atheist. So why? Because he said, Bible says that, you see, my son, he loves dinosaurs. And Bible says that we all, the world was created 5,000 years ago, or 6,000 years ago. How can it be? It's not very logical. So I was just listening. But you see, that is true. So if you look at how Brahma's day is 8.4 billion years, the modern scientists say that this universe was formed 4.3 billion years. So Carl Sagan and several other scientists, they say that the Vedic scriptures are the closest to finding out the real timeline of the creation of the universe. Like that. So many arguments that are put forward. Even the Quranic literature is on the basis of, it's all Abrahamic literature. These three are Abrahamic literature. And more or less the belief is that the world is created very recently. Something like 6,000, 7,000 years ago. And there was nothing there before that. So these things are not easily acceptable by those who are advanced in science and philosophy, Prabhupada says. So one another reason that Prabhupada gives why Vedic scriptures are without fault is because they are known as apaurusheya. What is the meaning of apaurusheya? No, apaurusheya. Perfect. Paurusheya means Purusha has written it, a human being has written it. Apaurusheya means no human has composed it. So Prabhupada says, apaurusheya means that the Vedas are free from the four defects of, or four imperfections of a human being, which are tendency to cheat, to be illusioned, senses are imperfect, and to make mistakes. These four are there in every single human being. There is no human who says, I never make a mistake. If they say it, that is their first mistake. Yeah? So they can't say, I don't make mistakes. Right? So there are mistakes in these, apparently there are mistakes in these scriptures, is what Prabhupada is alluding to. So this chapter does not go in the details of the discussion, but there is a chapter in the Madhya Leela, as we are in Adi Leela. In Madhya Leela, chapter 18, speaks wonderfully about the details of the discussion that Mahaprabhu had and the conclusions he was drawing. So I would like to just take 2-3 verses of that chapter to discuss those conclusions. So just to give the background, Mahaprabhu was in Vraj, and when Mahaprabhu was in Vrindavan, he was trying to, you know, go outside of the normal parikrama path. I was recently in Vrindavan for parikrama, Govardhan, and just Vraj Mandal. And Mahaprabhu was, he didn't want to mingle with the crowds. So he went on the other side of the Yamuna near Akrur Ghat. So you know, you have Kaliyadaha, and then you go on the Parikrama Marg further there, you then go to Radha Damodar and other places. So Mahaprabhu would come to Kaliyadaha every day, then go to Imlitala. If you go further down on the Parikrama Marg, it's Imlitala. And in Imlitala he would chant his rounds every day. And then he would go back to Akrur Ghat. And then with him, Nityan Prabhu had sent Balabhadra Bhattacharya as an assistant to ensure that Mahaprabhu is safe when he is in Vrindavan. Balabhadra Bhattacharya was a very devoted servant. But as Mahaprabhu was staying more and more for longer in Vrindavan, Balabhadra Bhattacharya realized that Mahaprabhu was spending a lot of time alone, by himself. And soon, he would see that Mahaprabhu is spending a lot of time in the Yamuna, immersed in the Yamuna. It is said by the commentators, he would go in the Yamuna, submerge himself, and be there without coming out for 4 hours. Sometimes for 20 hours. He would not even come out to take a breath. Mahaprabhu was gone and Balabhadra Bhattacharya could just see his cloth on the surface. So he knew that he's still there. But he dared not go and, you know, disturb Mahaprabhu. He was very concerned. So he spoke to one Brahman, Mathura Brahman. And the Mathura Brahman said, I know what is the... And he had also been instructed, if Mahaprabhu goes in trance and if it's unmanageable, take him out of that situation. So they made a plan. Let us take Mahaprabhu to Soroshetra. Soroshetra is between Vrindavan and Prayag. So they wanted to take him to Prayag. Why Prayag? Because Prayag is confluence of three, Ganga, Yamuna and Saraswati. And when Mahaprabhu is near the Ganges, he's not that absorbed and disturbed. So they wanted him to be near the Ganges. They said, we take him out of Vrindavan. So they knew the way, the Mathura Brahman, he knew the way. He said, let us go, let's take him. Overnight there, took Mahaprabhu, and it's 120 kilometers walk from there. So they are passing through the forest, and at a certain place, Mahaprabhu was walking so fast, everyone was trying to catch up with him. Balabhadra, there was another Bengali devotee, and then there were two Mathura devotees. They were so tired, they felt like they were running all the way through. So they asked Mahaprabhu, can we rest here? Mahaprabhu rested there, everyone rested there. In the morning, early morning, there was a cowherd boy who was passing by with his cows. And when he was passing by, he played his flute. This was a local cowherd boy. Hearing the flute of the cowherd boy, Mahaprabhu immediately thought of Krishna taking the cows in the morning for tending the cows. And thinking of that, he went into trance. He was up unconscious and he started foaming from his mouth. At that time, this is early in the morning, the servants of Mahaprabhu and the Mathura Brahman, they were wondering what happened. They were trying to revive Mahaprabhu, but there was nothing, you know, no sign of life. At that time, there was a prince of that taluka, that district. His name was Bijuli Khan. And he had his guru and 10 other soldiers, Pathan soldiers. So Pathans are originally from Afghanistan. They were deployed by the Turkish Empire, the Umayyad dynasty, which ruled in Turkey, the Ottoman Empire, which was extended from Spain and northern Africa to right into India. You know, that was the extent of the Umayyad dynasty, the Ottoman Empire. So the Turks used to rule India. And the actual people who were the kings of Bengal at that time, they were the... They were actually the slaves of the Turkish king in Istanbul, in Constantinople. The slaves were the rulers of Bangla, which means Gordesh. And the slave ruler were from Ethiopia. So the actual ruler of West Bengal or Bangladesh at that time was an Ethiopian king. He was a very, very tyrannical king. And under his rule were all these different people. And this Bijli Khan was the small prince of that taluka. He was passing by. He saw one darvish. Darvish means it's a Turkish word for mendicant. He saw darvish and he saw four people trying to do something with him. He immediately thought, these four are robbers. They are trying to rob this darvish. So he stopped there. He asked his soldiers, catch these four, put them into prison. So Balabhadra Bhattacharya and the other Bengali devotee were shaking. They were thinking, now we are gone. And Bijli Khan said, you are trying to loot a saintly person. You should be hanged to death. So they were really shaking. Now, you know, this is such a serious situation. They were trying to say, Mahaprabhu, please, wake up. Mahaprabhu had no sign of waking up. And then suddenly, so actually the Bijli Khan, he was saying that because of the foam coming out of Mahaprabhu's mouth, he was saying, you have poisoned this mendicant with Datura. You know Datura? Datura is it's a garden flower, common garden flower in India. Here also we find, sometimes in summer you find Datura somewhere. So Datura is known as, well, the English name is very interesting, Hell's Bells. It's a bell, it's called Hell's Bells, because if you eat that flower or the seeds of that flower, you get hallucination, you lose your consciousness, and you could even die. So it was a tradition in India and Egypt and other places that travelers, wherever they would go, there would be a gang of dacoits. They would mix with the travelers. They would make friends with them and they will feed them something with Datura powder. So the person will become unconscious and then they would loot him and leave. This is even common today in India. They do that. They make friends and offer you something to eat and you sleep or you lose consciousness. So that is what Bijli Khan was thinking. So at that time, his guru, who was a Sufi, Abdullah Pathan, he said, this saint, he's showing some sign of revival. Let's wait and see what happens. And Mahaprabhu came to, you know, back to his full consciousness. And then Mahaprabhu was asked, who are these men? They are trying to loot you. We are going to kill them. Mahaprabhu said, no. These are my well-wishers. They are my servants. Please leave them. And then Bijli Khan wanted to leave, but this Abdullah Pathan, he was so attracted to Mahaprabhu. Abdullah Pathan, it says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he was dressed in black with a black turban. He was a Sufi. He told Mahaprabhu, you are a mendicant, you are a darvish. I would like to discuss with you about the goal of life. What is the goal of life? And I would like to discuss with you, what does the Quran teach? So there is a beautiful discussion and many, many verses. I will just take few verses. So there is one verse where Mahaprabhu says, towards the end, Prabhu kohe tomar shastra sthape nirvishesha. Prabhu says, your scriptures, the Quran, establishes that Lord is impersonal, nirvishesha. Taha khandi sabhishesha sthapiya che shesha. But towards the end of the Quran, your Quran is saying that the Lord actually is a person. So you know, Prabhupada says the scriptures are full of contradiction. So you see, this is one of the contradiction that Mahaprabhu brings out. Actually, if you see how Srila Prabhupada would preach to the Christians or the Muslims, he would not speak anything from the Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. If he was speaking to a Christian priest, he would say, but your Bible says, thou shall not kill. Why are you killing? If you are speaking to the Muslim, like the yoga student in Tehran, in Iran, Prabhupada was asking him again and again from the Quran, or from his tradition. So, similarly, this is following Mahaprabhu's footsteps. Mahaprabhu also took their scriptures and was pointing out. So what did he say? Prabhu kohe tomar shastra sthape nirvishesha. Your scriptures establish impersonalism. Now we know that there are so many wonderful devotees, even Rupa and Sanatana, the two Goswamis, were servants in the Muslim king, and they were scholars of Arabic, Persian and Sanskrit. So when I read that, when I was a student, I was a teenager, I had just finished my A-levels, and I was thinking, Rupa Sanatana, they are scholars in Arabic, Persian and Sanskrit, so I need to learn Arabic. So I met a friend, old friend who was a Muslim, and then I started discussing with him, and I read the Quran with him, and he taught me Arabic basic. It was just yesterday, after so many years, that I opened my copy of the Quran. I have four different copies, one of four different schools of Islam. So I'll make a few quotes from the Quran as well, just to substantiate what Mahaprabhu is saying. So Prabhu says, Tomar Shastra Sthapa Nirvishesh, in chapter 24, verse 35 of the Quran. It is a beautiful chapter. The name of the chapter is Surah Al-Nur. Nur means light, the chapter of light. In that, there is a quotation, the surah, the verse says, Allahu Nur, which means Allah is light. The Lord is light. Impersonal. But again in chapter 6, 104, it says, وَهُوَ اللَّتِيفُ الْكَبِيرُ, which means, وَهُوَ اللَّتِيفُ. Latif means the Lord is light, but He is very subtle kind of light. Latif means subtle. And Kabiru, which means He is the knower of everything. So Mahaprabhu says He is impersonal according to your scriptures. But towards the end, Tatha taha khandi sabishesha sthapya cheshesh. Towards the end, your scripture, the Quran, establishes that your Lord Allah is actually a personality. So we see, actually there are 99 names of Allah. They are known as Asmahul Husna, which means the beautiful names of God. Husna means beautiful. They are beautiful names of God, 99 beautiful names. Of these names, there are 7 names which allude to the fact that Allah has to have a personality. So one of the name is Hayat, which means He has life. He's just like us. He moves, He does things, He has life. Another name is Ilm, which means He's full of knowledge. He knows all His creation. Another name is Qudrat, which means He has the power to do whatever He wishes. Somebody who has power to do cannot be impersonal. But even more, the next beautiful name is Irada, which means He has His own willpower. He has His own desires. Can you imagine Adharam Madhuram, Akhilam Madhuram, the most beautiful Lord, but without a face, without any, you know, He has a desire, He has everything. And then the last three names are very, very beautiful. Kalam. Kalam means He speaks. So Prabhupada says, your Allah speaks, but He doesn't have a mouth. How is that possible? Prabhupada says to one person, even an ordinary big man has a mouth. A big man meaning a rich man, he also has a mouth. The richest of all, Allah, how he doesn't have a mouth. So one of the name is Kalam, which means he speaks beautiful words. the other name, which is even more beautiful, is Basar, which means he sees. So Allah can see. So Allah has eyes. Another name is Sama', which means he hears. These are all Arabic words, which means he hears. So Allah can see, Allah can hear, he can speak, but he's got no personality. No, that is not possible. And then Mahaprabhu says, Tomar Shastre Kohe Shesha Eka Ishbara. Your scriptures say that there is only one God. I also say the same. There is only one God. So when somebody converts to Islam, especially the Sunni form of Islam, they have the Shahada, which means the testimony they have to give. To become a Muslim, you have to just give this one testimony. The testimony reads that there is no God other than Allah, and Prophet Muhammad is the only Prophet of Allah. This is the testimony, nobody else. So this testimony is called Shahada, and the first words of the Shahada is La ilaha illallah, which means La ilaha means there is no other God. Illallah, which means other than Allah. Mahaprabhu says same thing. Tomara shastra ko hai Eka Ishwara. There is only one God. But the last sentence is very beautiful. He says Sharba Ishwarya Purnateho Shyama Kalebar. He is full of all opulences. He doesn't need anything from anyone. And Shyama Kalebar. Shyama Kalebar means he is dark in color. Your scriptures say this. Quran says, Mahaprabhu says, and Mahaprabhu must have quoted the Quran. So he is Sarveshwarya Purnateho. He is full of all Aishwarya. So in chapter 47, verse 38 of the Quran, it says, Wallahul ghaniyu. Ghaniyu means he doesn't need anything. He has everything. He has all opulences. And then there is the largest chapter of the Quran is the second chapter. Actually, the word Quran is not correctly pronounced. It's Quran, which means Quran means the reading. Prophet Muhammad, who was illiterate, was made to read. That itself is that was the mercy of Injil Jibrail on him, the angel Gabriel. That is what they say. That's why the book is called Quran, which means the reading. And chapter 2, which is Surah Al-Baqarah, is the longest chapter of the Quran. And verse 138 says, very beautiful verse. Verse 138 says, Shibgata Allahi. Shibgata means Allah has a color, and from his color you Arabs have taken your color. And what is the color of the Arabs? If you see the Arabs in the desert, they were dark-skinned. Shyama. So Mahaprabhu says, this is in the Quran, that the Lord Allah has the color from which you Arabs have taken your dark color. So the Lord is of dark color. So Mahaprabhu quotes this, and then at the end Mahaprabhu says, after saying all of these, Mahaprabhu ends by saying, this is again Madhya Leela chapter 18 verse 198. Mahaprabhu's conclusion, Nija Shastra Dekhi Tomi Bichara Koriya. That's all the Arabic I'm going to quote today. So Nija Shastra Dekhi Tomi Bichara Koriya. You read your own scriptures and think what they are saying. Ki likhya che sheshe koho nirnaya koriya. And then you tell me, what is your conclusion? When this Abdullah Pathan, he heard these words from Mahaprabhu, he said, Mahaprabhu, you are absolutely right. And then Mahaprabhu started chanting, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Immediately, the Pathan and the 10 soldiers and Bijli Khan started dancing and chanting with Mahaprabhu. And at the end, Mahaprabhu said, always chant this Harinam and give it to others. From that day, all of them became Vaishnavas. And even today, they are known as Pathan Vaishnava. They are Vaishnavas. They will have tilak and kantimala and everything. They dress like Vaishnavas. And they chant Harinam always. But they are the descendants of these 10 soldiers and Abdullah Pathan and Bijli Khan. They are still there. Many. Hundreds of them. Thousands probably. So this is Mahaprabhu's interaction on the Quran. The same thing is said here. Adhunika amara shastra bichara shahanoi. Shant Kazi is accepting. So does that mean that we have to criticize these scriptures? Or do we accept these scriptures? What do you think? The New Testament, the Old Testament, the Quran. Should we now go and study those scriptures? Yes? There is no need to go and study those scriptures because the conclusion of those scriptures are illuminated in greater depth and detail in the Vaishnava literature. So there may be no need to go and study. Yeah, if someone wishes, they can do that. But then who are the Muslims and who are the Christians? Are they also Vaishnavas? If their scriptures are also alluding to this. Even for example, the Christian, if you see the Bible in the, I'm speaking from memory, so in the book of Revelations, it is said that when one reaches the paradise where the Lord Jehovah lives, or Yahweh, where Yahweh lives, Yahweh is traveling on Cherub. Cherub is a big eagle, like Garuda. And all his devotees, all his people, they have the marks of his footprint on their forehead. Like everyone wearing a tilak. So many such things are there in the book of Revelations, in the New Testament. But these are all so indirect. As Lord Jesus Christ said, there is a lot more to be said, he told his disciples. But I'm not saying it because you shall not be able to behold. You should not be able to accept. So, Srila Prabhupada in Mayapur during a Srimad Bhagavatam class, he says that even the Muslims, Christians, if they follow what they are following properly, 100%, they will make progress. And then he gives example, just like children, they don't know how to meditate on the Maha Mantra, how to focus. But they just see, and Prabhupada says, you just tell them, this is Krishna, this is Radha. And they just see and they just smile. Very nice. That also gives them credit. So even a little action gives them credit. So Srila Prabhupada says, therefore I say, what do you think? Are Christians and Muslims also Vaishnavas or not? Vaishnavas or not? What do you think? To some extent, if they practice properly. So Prabhupada says this in the class, therefore I say that the Christian, they are also Vaishnavas. The Muslims, they are also Vaishnavas. Very lower stage, Prabhupada says. Because they are only offering prayer. Yad Vandanam, they offer prayer. Oh God, give us our daily bread. They do not know very much. But the beginning is there. Beginning is there because they have approached. Chaturvidha bhajanti mam sukritino arjuna. That going to church or going to mosque, that is also pious activity. One day they will come out pure Vaishnava. One day. That beginning is good. So Prabhupada is saying that they are beginning, they are at certain stage. And when he was in Iran, in Tehran, in 75 March, he's talking to this yoga student, and the yoga student quotes one of the hadiths of Prophet Muhammad, which means one of the sayings. There are 40 hadiths, 40 books of sayings of Prophet Muhammad collected by his disciples. Some of those hadiths were written even after 200 years of Prophet Muhammad leaving, so people don't, not every strand of Islam accepts it. And there are 780 schools of Islam. So not every school accepts what other school says. But he was quoting one particular hadith which says, if you surrender unto me and love me, then you will soon reach me. One of the sayings of Muhammad. Yoga student from Tehran, he quotes this. So Prabhupada's very happy. Suddenly he becomes very happy. And Prabhupada says, yes, that is first class religion, which trains the followers how to love God and to serve Him. That is first class religion. And because he quoted this from Islam, he says, then Islam is Vaishnava Dharma in a crude form, like the Christians. So yes, we will respect Prabhupada. In fact, in his foundation documents of ISKCON, he writes that we respect all the scriptures, even the 10 offenses to the holy name. We say we respect all scriptures that are in pursuance of the Vedic version, right? So although these scriptures are in pursuance of the Vedic version, Prabhupada once said that to describe these things properly, you need a devotee, because Mahaprabhu established the conclusions. So there are two books, very nice books, written by two wonderful devotees. One is The Lost Harmony of Islam and the Vedas. The Lost Harmony, it's written by His Grace Rasamandala Prabhu, where he takes the historical and the social and the cultural context of how Islam developed and lost perhaps what was the original message. Very beautiful historical, he takes through the journey. And then the other book is, if you are interested more on a theological level of comparative or understanding what the Quran says and what is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, then there is a book written by Dr. Akif Manaf, his name is Airavat Das. He's a Arab from Azerbaijan who he's a devotee, and he's written Dabir Khas Publications, and he writes this. This book's name is The Hidden Treasure of Al-Quran, in which he writes how Mahaprabhu spoke to the Pathans and what was the conversation. It's a beautiful book if you're interested. So ultimately there is one personality who gave the conclusion of comparative study of all religions with Gaudiya Vaishnavism. There was only one Acharya. Who is that? Yes. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his Swajivana Lekhani, in his autobiography, he mentions about it. In Chaitanya Shikshamrita, he mentions details of how he considers the Quran's message, the Bible's message, the Torah's message. And also actually in Jaiva Dharma, he mentions how Lahiri Mahashay is having conversation with a Qazi on the Quran. So one conclusion in the first chapter of the Shikshamrita, I would like to read that from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is this: of all the conceptions of God existing in the world, the form of Krishna is the most suitable for developing pure love. The conception of Allah in Quran is not suitable for developing pure love. Even the Lord's dear prophet could not see Allah's form. For though the Lord is friendly, he remains at a distance from the worshipper due to the conception of God as a master. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, even Prophet Muhammad did not see Allah's form. He remains at a distance from the worshipper due to the conception of God as master. The God in the Christian faith is also some distant entity. What to speak of impersonal Brahman? Even in the Christian faith, God is a distant entity. There is not much description. So God is portrayed as an old man with a halo and a stick in his hand and a big white beard. You know, this is not how God is. We know how God is. He's right there. So, even Narayan is not the form by which the soul can easily obtain pure love. Krishna alone, who resides in the spiritual abode of Vraja, is the object of pure love. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. And Bhaktivinoda, see, the Vaishnava, Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy is very, very deep also, because Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy not only reveals the personality of the Lord, but also reveals the personality of the energy of the Lord, Srimati Radharani, and then also reveals, for those who have attained perfection, reveals our relationship with the Lord. What is our relationship with the Lord? Do we all have a relationship with the Lord? We all have a relationship with the Lord. Now, who was Bhaktivinoda Thakur? What was his relation with the Lord? Yes. Which manjari? Govindrubhu said, Kamala Manjari. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur has, how do we know he was Kamala Manjari? Yes. He himself has said this in two places. Actually, many places he has alluded to, but I'll like to refer two places. Kalyana Kalpataru, he says, Jugala Shebaya Shri Rasamandale. For the service of Radha and Krishna in Rasamandala, during the Rasa Leela, Nijukta Koro Amai. Please engage me in their service, in the service of Radha and Krishna. Lalita Shakira Ayogya Kinkari. I am the unfit servant of Lalita Sakhi. Binoda Dhariya Chepaya. Holding the feet, I am begging. I am an unfit Sakhi of, servant of Lalita Sakhi. In Siddhi Lalasa, in Gita Mala, he says this. He's meditating on his eternal form. He says this about himself. Who am I? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. This is the ultimate revelation. He says, Barone Tarit. My body is shining, brilliant like lightning, is how effulgent I am. What am I wearing? Basho Tara Boli. I am wearing a dress with stars on it. And what is, who am I? Kamala Manjari Nama. My name is Kamala Manjari. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Sharire Bara Barsha. By body, I am only a 12-year-old girl. Bayashi Satata. And I am always 12-year-old. And where do I live? Swananda Sukhada Dhamma. I live in Swananda Sukhada. Have you been to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house in Mayapur? Yeah, what is the name of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house? Swananda Sukhada Kunja. Because he realized himself. So not only we realize in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, he realized Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who is he? He's Kamala Manjari. Well, he was always realized, but as Kamala Manjari. And Kamala Manjari is, who is Kamala Manjari? servant of Lalita Sakhi, Kamala Manjari is the, yes Prabhuji, servant of Ananga Manjari, but the direct servant of Sri Rupa Manjari. And who is Sri Rupa Manjari? Rupa Goswami. And Rupa Manjari is the first confidential and direct servant of Lalita Sakhi. So if we are Rupanugas, we are all followers of Lalita Sakhi. And Lalita Sakhi, who is Lalita Sakhi? Lalita Sakhi is somewhere it says Swarup Damodar and Chaitanya Bhagavat, but in Krishna Gaur Ganodesh Deepika it says that he is Ramananda is Lalita and he is Vishakha, Swarup Damodar. So who is Lalita Sakhi? In Krishna Leela, what is her position? She is the first, the highest, the closest Sakhi of Srimati Radharani. In fact, Srila Rupa Goswami has written Lalita Ashtakam, in which he says that Lalita Sakhi, she is the guru of Srimati Radhika. Why? Because she teaches Srimati Radhika what to do and how to act and what to say to Krishna. That is why she is the guru of Srimati Radhika. And why am I saying all this? Because today is Sri Lalita Shashti. Today is the appearance day of Lalita Devi. So anyone who is a Rupanuga, anyone who is a follower of Bhakti Vinoda, is automatically a follower of Lalita Sakhi. That is the group. There are many groups in Vraj. And this is one group. Srila Prabhupada, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, we are all part of Rupanuga Sampradaya, followers of Sri Rupa Manjari, who is the closest servant of Lalita Sakhi. And Lalita Sakhi appeared in Uchagaon. She appeared in Uchagaon. She appeared midday. And today in Uchagaon, it is approximately 2 o'clock there in Uchagaon. As we speak, there would be a huge festivity going on. There is a Lalita Bihari Mandir in Uchagaon, on top of the hill. Beautiful place where Lalita Sakhi, and there is also a Fislini Shila on the left hand side. You can see where the gopis, they would play. And actually they also did a pretend marriage of Lalita and Lord Krishna. And further there is Narayan Bhatt Goswami's Samadhi. He was one of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas. So Uchagaon is where she appeared. Uchagaon is only 1 mile, about 20 minutes walk from Barsana, where all the most beautiful pastimes took place. So Lalita Sakhi is very special. In fact, Raghunath Das Goswami says that I do not wish, at one place he says, if Krishna calls me, I do not wish to follow him. I will simply follow the Sakhis of Srimati Radharani headed by Lalita. But if Lalita and the Sakhis tell me that Krishna is in Dwarka and we have to go to Dwarka, I will go there immediately at once, even faster than Garuda can fly. So he is saying my allegiance is 100% with Srimati Radharani and Lalita Sakhi. And Srila Rupa Goswami as well as Raghunath Das Goswami in Sri Radhika Ashtotara Shatanamavali, 108 names of Srimati Radharani. One of the names of Srimati Radharani, such a beautiful name, is Lalita Bhiti Manini. Lalita Bhiti Manini. She who keeps up her man, man means she behaves in an arrogant way, out of fear of Lalita, she behaves arrogantly with Krishna. Because Lalita has told her, taught her what to do. And all the quotations, by the way, I'm making, and references, they are all referred to by Srila Prabhupada in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I'm not going outside of Prabhupada's literature. In Chaitanya Madhyalila, 14th chapter, there's a beautiful verse. Bhamya Swabhave Mana Uthe Nirantara Tara Madhye Uthe Krishna Ananda Sagara. Because of this Bhamya Swabhav, the leftist mentality of the Lalita Adi Shakhi, they are always in Man. They don't give Krishna any chance to, you know, overpower them. And that actually gives Krishna a lot of pleasure. These words are spoken by Swarup Damodar Goswami to Mahaprabhu in Madhyalila. Swarup Damodar is Vishakha himself. He is revealing. So, I wanted to speak a few verses, maybe just one or two verses with your permission. There is a beautiful verse spoken by Rupa Goswami in Ujjwala Neelamani. In the 8th chapter of Ujjwala Neelamani, which is Sakhi Prakaranam, which describes all the Sakhis and their moods and how they behave. And again, Ujjwala Neelamani is quoted by Srila Prabhupada, and what I'm saying is quoted by Prabhupada in Chaitanya Charitamrita. There is one beautiful verse. Chitra Gopi was, Chitra is also one of the Ashtashakis. She was, so actually the episode is like this. Srimati Radharani had been waiting for Krishna on the, in the forest grove on Govardhan. And while she was waiting, the whole night passed and she remained awake along with Lalita. And for some reason, Krishna did not come. This made Lalita very upset. How can he not come? And in that upsetness, she is telling Srimati Radharani not to bow down, not to become, you know, if Krishna appears also, not to actually show any emotions because he is so late. He has not come all night. We are waiting. And at that time, Chitra comes to Lalita and she says, "Oh Lalita, it's all right. He must be stuck somewhere. He'll come. You know, he's so kind to all of us." She's saying so many words. So in response, Lalita, who is Swabhava, actually it is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita in Ujjwala Neelamani also, Lalita Devi Swabhava is Prakhara. Prakhara means she is Prakhara Gopi. Prakhara means she is the most outspoken. You know, while if you go to Govardhan Dan Ghati, where Dan Leela happened, you see Krishna and his friends, they stopped all the gopis and they said, "Hey, you are all collecting flowers. You are collecting flowers, so you are ruining my beautiful Braj. I am the Lord of Braj. Now you have to pay me tax. You have to give me all your butter." So Radharani is very, she is not reacting. Lalita Sakhi immediately says, "Huh? You are the king of Vraj? And you are saying we are destroying Vraj by collecting flowers? What about you and your cows? They are eating everything. They are the biggest destroyers. How can you accuse us?" Lalita Sakhi is immediately coming to defense. This is Prakhara Gopi. This is her nature. And then he says, no, but that's fine. Krishna immediately says, no, that's fine, but you are stealing. I am the Lord. You are not asking my permission before picking the flowers. So you are stealing. And Lalita Sakhi, again she goes in front of him and says, "You are saying that we are stealing? Who is speaking? Go to Gokul and ask any house. Who is the biggest thief of Gokul? They will all name you. See, the biggest thief is talking about us as thieves. Like that she is. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given this episode. So this is Lalita Sakhi's nature. So in Ujjwala Neelamani, in reply to Chitra Gopi, who is trying to pacify Lalita before Krishna comes, otherwise there is no hope for Krishna to meet Srimati Radharani. If Lalita does not want to meet, Radharani will not meet. Because Radharani is Lalita Bhiti Manini. So the verse is this: Mugdhe. Our Lalita Sakhi is saying to Chitra Gopi, Mugdhe, oh stupid girl. She is saying, this is the meaning. Tushnim bhava, keep quiet. Don't try to explain to me why Krishna is late. Shatha kala mandala khandalena. Because of that shatha kala mandala, because of that king of cheaters, who is very good at spinning very beautiful words, that person, tvam mantrena sphutam, he has spelled some mantra on you, it seems, that Krishna. And because of that mantra, sphutam, you have appeared here now. Sphutam iha vashikritya tena anushishta. He spelled some mantra on you, vashikritya, and he has made you under his control, anushishta, and he has taught you. You go to Lalita and you pacify her. I know it. Kunje Govardhana Shikharino. On the top of Govardhan, in the Kunja, Jagarena Adya Radham. Don't you know? Jagarena Adya Radham. Even up to now, all night has passed. Even up to now, Adya Radham, Srimati Radharani, Jagarena, she has been awake and waiting. And you think I'm going to be pacified by your words? Because you are spellbound by this cheater? Like that it says, Drishtvapi Uchai. You are seeing my condition and how angry I am and upset I am. Still you are very loudly saying, Sakhiyadasime Chatu Vade Pravritta. Your beautiful slippery words will not affect me. Go away. She is telling Chitra Sakhi. This is the mood. And in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has written a commentary on Ujjwala Neelamani called Ananda Chandrika, in which he says, one line I will read, very nice. Tena Shri Krishnen Anushishta. This Chitra Gopi was trained by Lord Krishna, Lalitam Prasadaya Iti. Why he was trained? Not to pacify Radharani, to pacify Lalita. Because if Lalita is pacified, Radharani is pacified. She is the guru of Radharani. This Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is saying. So, there are many verses. One verse I will end, the last verse, is the verse that we should all pray to Lalita Sakhi. Rupa Goswami has written beautiful Sri Lalita Ashtakam. 8 verses of glorification of Sri Lalita. Lalita Devi is so much dear to Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna that there is no one, even amongst the Ashtashakhi, who is more dear to them. She is the most dear amongst the 8. And she has a quality which is unbelievable. After I read this verse and explain it, you all will hopefully feel the blessing and the when I read this, it makes me feel so jubilant. The verse written by Rupa Goswami is Yam Yam Kam Api Vrajakule Vrishabhanujaya. Yam Kam Api Vrajakule Vrishabhanujaya. Whoever is in Braj, whoever wants to be in Braj or whoever is in Braj, Yam Kam, whosoever, whichsoever gopi is in Braj, and if they just desire to serve Srimati Radharani, please listen carefully. If a gopi is lost in Braj, she is just desiring to serve Srimati Radharani. Just a simple desire. How I wish I can serve Srimati Radharani. What does Lalita Sakhi do? Preksha swapaksha padavim anuruddhyamanam. Preksha, seeing that this particular girl, this particular gopi, or this particular devotee wants to serve Srimati Radharani, just seeing that, she immediately swapaksha padavim, she says, come, you are part of my group. I will accept you. Oh, you have all the faults, you have all the anarthas, you have everything, no worries, I will accept you. You don't know anything, no worries, I will accept you. Preksha swapaksha padavim, swapaksha padavim. She makes that gopi or that devotee her own. Anuruddhyamanam. And then she immediately runs to Srimati Radharani and says, hey Radhika, I have a new friend. She wants to join us. We cannot approach Srimati Radharani. But Lalita Sakhi is so eager to have us, have the devotees. If we simply say we want to serve Srimati Radharani sincerely to Lalita Sakhi, she will say, yes, come, join us. And she goes to Radharani and she says, Anuruddhyamanam. She says, please, Radhike, we have to have her, or this devotee we have to have as part of our group. Sadhyastadishta ghatanena kritarthayantim. And she will ensure, nobody else can ensure, but Shri, Lalita Sakhi can ensure that Shri, which means Radharani, will accept this devotee. She has the power to ensure that the devotee is accepted. It says, sadhyastadishta ghatanena kritarthayantim. She will ensure that this devotee is becomes an associate of Radharani. Devim gunai sulalitam. To that Devi, who is full of good qualities and who is very delicate and soft-hearted, sulalitam. Lalitam namami. To that Lalita Devi, I pay my obeisances, Rupa Goswami says. So this is the verse. So this today's day, and that is why we can go on, but just one more thing I'll say. We are 2 days before Radhashtami. You know, we have build up to Radhashtami and things like that. This is the real build up. Lalita Devi appears before Radharani appears. I have to be there before my best friend. They are the best of friends. In fact, Radharani does not act even in front of Krishna. She will not do anything that Lalita has asked her not to do. This is the control Lalita Devi has over Radharani. Rupa Goswami says she is the Shiksha Guru of all the gopis, including Srimati Radharani. So today is Lalita Devi's appearance day. May I request that we all repeat this verse just so that we can have the blessings of Lalita Devi. This is the verse that Rupa Goswami has written. Verse number 7 from Sri Lalita Ashtakam. Yam kamapi vrajakule vrishabhanujaya. Yam kamapi vrajakule vrishabhanujaya. Whosoever is there in Braj, wanting to be with Srimati Radharani, preksha swapaksha padavim anuruddhyamanam. Preksha swapaksha padavim anuruddhyamanam. Seeing her, Preksha swapaksha padvim, she immediately brings her into her group. And she goes and requests Srimati Radharani. Sadhyastadishta ghatanena kritarthayantim. Sadhyastadishta ghatanena kritarthayantim. Sadhyas, immediately, tadishta ghatanena. She makes sure that Radharani immediately accepts. Kritarthayantim. She makes sure immediately Srimati Radharani will accept her. Devim gunai sulalitam, lalitam namami. Devim gunai sulalitam, lalitam namami. to that Lalita Devi who is full of all transcendental qualities. And dear friend of Srimati Radharani, I pay my humble obeisances, begging for her mercy. So, in summary, we started with the verse. We saw the scriptures are giving some contradictions. We saw the episode of Mahaprabhu speaking to the Pathans. And I quoted a few verses from the Quran. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who gives the conclusion that these scriptures are not, you know, fit to take us to the deepest level. And then we revealed who Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself is, Kamala Manjari, the servant of Rupa Manjari, the servant of Lalita Sakhi. And today is Lalita Devi's appearance day. And I was specifically asked to speak about Lalita Devi's appearance day. But I was also asked to speak about the verse. And I tend to not diverge from the verse if I can. So it was so wonderful that we could speak of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And then that was very easy for me to speak of Lalita Sakhi. So Lalita Sakhi, may she give us all, the blessings to be engaged in the service of Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna. Shri Shri Radha Gokulan Bhagavan ki jai, Ram Sita Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Gaur Nithai ki jai, Saligram Shila ki jai. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samved Bhakta Vrind ki jai, Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari.